You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This show is sponsored in part by Vivid Seats, and I am your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. We are covering today on the third day of October 2019. Is that the year? Yeah, 2019, the anniversary of the shot heard round the world and the birthday of Hall of Famers Dennis Eckersley and Dave Winfield. What are we talking about today? We're talking about the American League wildcard game. We're talking about the beginning of the division series. And oh, yeah, another head rolled in the managerial world. And oddly, it's not Gabe Kapler. So, this show is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. Run wherever you get your podcasts. Apple, Google, Podbean, Player FM, wherever you are, we're there. Turn around, we're there. You get your Locked On MLB. Maybe go to LockedOnMLB.com. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other terrific podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network where it really is your team every day. Hey, if you do fantasy football, check out Locked On Fantasy Football because they can help you put together the team to help you win the league. Okay, let's talk about... Oh, by the way, your pal Sully, that's me. I'm on Instagram at Sully Baseball Podcast, and I am at Twitter at Sully Baseball. Okay, I'm going to say this very briefly right at the top. The Mets fired Mickey Callaway. Yeah, that makes sense. Look, the Mets had a winning season. There was some excitement, but the first year of Mickey Callaway was terrible, and the second year was kind of baffling. I mean, he was in a little over his head. I'm not saying he's a bad manager. I'm not even saying he's a bad baseball mind. He may be a good fit somewhere else. He may be the ideal team to manage AAA. He may be the ideal player, manager to... manage a small market team that's rebuilding. But he just is not the right manager for a high-profile job like the Mets, especially with that media where he tries to, pick fights with them and everything. Look, it didn't work out. There are some high-profile people out there and some potentially, really good managers out there for the Mets. They need to do something this offseason. But let me just cut something right off at the pass. I am going to be focusing primarily on playoff baseball, but just give me... one more minute to talk about this topic. It's not going to be Joe Maddon. Joe Maddon will not be the manager of the Mets. Write it down. Just like all my predictions about San Diego Padre no-hitters, this one's going to come true. The reason is, why would Joe Maddon walk into that hornet's nest? Yes, there's a lot of talent on the Mets. Yes, if he wins in New York, he'll be a god. Yes, all of the above is true. But he's also walking into the Wilpons. He's also walking where he'd have to answer to Brody Van Wagener. He's also going to be looking at a situation where they may want to be trading Noah Syndergaard. And they'll probably wind up trading him to San Diego. So why don't you just go to San Diego anyway? The Angels and the Padres' jobs are wide open for him. And I still believe the Padres make the most sense to step into the turmoil. He thought there was turmoil in Chicago? They won there. To step into the turmoil of the Mets, yes, he would be a grandiose hero leading the New York Metropolitans to a World Series title. It's not going to happen. Joe Maddon strikes me as a very smart guy. And I do believe he will go to a place where he will have the freedom to manage the way he wants and to not have the front office interference that will happen with the Mets. So it's not going to be Joe Maddon. I think it's going to be Joe Girardi, but it's not going to be Joe Maddon. My pick is Joe Girardi. That's who I believe. I would love it to be Dusty Baker. And Dusty Baker is a great manager. Is he an analytical manager? Does he do everything by the book? No. All he does is have success wherever he goes. Okay? It's bizarre that he has this reputation of stinking as a manager while wherever he's been a Johnny Appleseed of division titles. I would love to see Dusty Baker in New York. Dusty or Joe? That's who I want to see. Watch it be some anonymous person we've never heard of. Okay, let's get to the the meat and potatoes, the A's. You know, I made no bones about it. I am objective, but I definitely root for teams. I am biased to teams that I want to see win, but I'm going to be fair in my analysis of the situation. I was very open in saying I want the A's to go to the World Series. They're right across the bay. I could get tickets. I have a soft spot in my heart for the A's. I wanted to see the narrative of Billy Beane end, and it didn't. It didn't. The A's lost. And it really wasn't much of a game. It was kind of a clunker of a game, especially after the thriller between Milwaukee and Washington just the night before. And so the A's are now, since 2000, are 1-15 in postseason games where they can eliminate an opponent. They played 16 such games, and they won one of them, which was Game 3 of the Division Series against Minnesota in 2006. And they have lost, was it 9 straight do-or-die games? Now, for the people who want to blame Billy Beane for this, let me ask you a question. What move did he not make that would have scored 5 runs last night? What move could he have done in all those years, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, 2006, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2018, 2019, all those years, he took teams to the postseason. And they didn't get to where they wanted to go. What could he have done in those years differently? Answer that question. If you're going to blame Billy Beane for this, go to Sully Baseball on Twitter and write to me what he could have done differently each one of those years. Here's something to think about. The Philadelphia Phillies, who are linked in history to the Athletics because they both originated in Philadelphia. That's a bit of a stretch, but it's true. The Philadelphia Phillies are a big market club. Philadelphia's a big market, big media market. They have a lucrative television contract. They have signed big-name free agents. And they play in a state-of-the-art stadium with a huge fan base that can take from New Jersey, can take from Delaware, can take from Northern Maryland, can take from all over Pennsylvania. All those different places it can sap from. And they have not had a winning season since 2011. They haven't been to the postseason, obviously, since 2011. And since then, the A's, who have to share a market with a more successful Giants team, who have a garbage stadium and have a terrible media deal and can't sign anyone if they ask for more than $3.75 an hour, have been, since the Phillies' last playoff appearance, in 12, 13, 14, 18, have been in the playoffs 5 times since Philadelphia last was there. Shouldn't that be worth praising Billy Beane? You know, I'm sure the White Sox and the Padres and the Mariners and the Marlins, who have not been in the postseason this decade once, that's where the A's should be. But again, if you're going to blame Billy Beane, tell me what he could have done differently. But okay, enough of the negative. Let's go to positive. And by the way, if you're going to write something snarky about the Rays' attendance and their fan base and everything like that, don't. Why not be positive? The Rays are a tough team. They're a plucky team. They're a 90-some-odd win team back-to-back years with all the odds stacked against them. They're playing a division with the Yankees and the Red Sox. And they're in the division series. The Red Sox can't say that. Cubs can't say that. Phillies can't say that. Mets can't say that. Giants can't say that. Mike Trout and the Angels can't say that. So congratulate. Don't hate. You know, in the game yesterday, there really is not much to say. I mean, the A's had a shot to score some runs early against Charlie Morton, but Charlie Morton wiggled out of trouble. Yandy Diaz homered twice. Remember, Yandy Diaz was kind of an afterthought in that three-way trade that sent Carlos Santana from Seattle to Cleveland. Well, he's not an afterthought anymore. Hit 2 homers. And I want to just give a shout-out to one of the best baseball stories of the year, which is Nick Anderson. Is he the best story in baseball this year? No, I think the no-hitter honoring Tyler Skaggs And, Mike Yastrzemski hitting a home run in Fenway Park, and the goodbye to Ichiro was pretty awesome. But other than that, this was a pretty great story. Nick Anderson's great story, pitched an independent ball. 29 years old, never appeared in the big leagues before this year. Wandered around independent ball, out of organized baseball. Wandered around single A. Didn't make it to double A until a couple of years ago. Didn't make it to the majors this year until he made it to the Marlins. And the Marlins traded him across the state, and he's been spectacular. This career minor leaguer with as many appearances in the major leagues as I did before this year is now finding himself in pitching in the wild card game in the eighth and ninth inning on the road in front of 50-some-odd thousand people at Oakland. A year ago, he was banging around between Chattanooga and Fort Myers and Rochester. Now he's on the mound in the ninth inning of a playoff game, of a do-or-die playoff game. I think that's an amazing story. I kind of wish they let him close it out. That would have been the best. But you know what? I'm not Kevin Cash, and Kevin Cash is managing in the division series, and I'm not, and neither is Mickey Callaway. So now they're off to Houston to play the Astros in a couple of days. We'll get to that when that series starts. Again, I'm going to be positive and just praise the Tampa Bay Rays for getting that far and playing a very tough Oakland team. I don't think they have much of a shot against Houston, but we'll get to that later. And I got to say one thing here. Bombas. You know what Bombas are? They're the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. With every pair purchased, a pair is donated. So go to bombas.com/lockedon to get 20% off your first purchase. Now, I'm sure there's going to be people buying tickets left and right in Tampa Bay. And do you know what? That's a fan base that I did a whole podcast on earlier this year. I said, like, those fans are devoted in Tampa Bay because they live and die by their team and they get no credit for it. People just say, oh, do they even exist? We should move it to Montreal. No, they're diehard Rays fans out there who live and die by their team and love them. And I guarantee you they're falling over themselves to fill up the trap for Game 3 of the Division Series. And let me tell you, if you're in Tampa Bay, do you know what you should be using? Vivid Seats! Vivid Seats is an online event ticket marketplace dedicated to providing fans of live entertainment with experiences that last a lifetime. Go into the postseason in Tampa Bay or wherever you are, in LA, in New York, in Minnesota. You understand the concept I'm saying? These are cities that have games, whether it's football, basketball, whether it's the theater, whether it's concerts. With Vivid Seats, listeners can watch their favorite teams and artists perform in person, earning credit back on all purchases made through the Vivid Seats app via the Vivid Seats Rewards Loyalty Program. Now look, Vivid Seats helps fans find their seats to their favorite live event, and they offer great prices, easy purchasing experience, as well as an in-app loyalty program with reward statuses ranging from MVP to Hall of Famer. Customers can range from 10% up to 16% credit on all their purchases through the app throughout the postseason. So go to the App Store, Google Play, download Vivid Seats app, and fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Reward Loyalty Program and will enjoy credits on all their purchases as part of the Vivid Seats Rewards. And guess what? All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed with a 100% guarantee. You're not going to go to the playoffs and finally got a fake ticket. No, you're watching the game. So make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get your favorite live event. Enter the promo code POSTSEASON at checkout and receive a discount for up to 100%. Vivid Seats, let's go see the game. All right, it is the 3rd of October, the beginning of the Division Series. We're done with the wild card. We're now moving on. Division Series starts in just a few hours. Miles Mikolas starts for the Cardinals. Dallas Keuchel starts for the Braves. Now, I, for one, don't really have a dog in this fight. I'm not a big fan of either team, but I don't have any spite towards either roster. So, basically, I want this series to go 5 games. I want Game 5 to go 23 innings. That being said, I want Dallas Keuchel to win opening game. I want the Braves to win the opener, and I want Keuchel to be dominant. And then stare at the camera to the other 29 teams as if to say, you could have had me. I hope the draft pick and the slot money was worth it when you let me spin around on that vine of free agency when no one wanted to sign me. That's what I want. I want Keuchel to dominate and basically give the baseball equivalent of a middle finger to all the teams like, I don't know if we're going to sign him. We need the draft. I need the money. I don't know. We don't need a number one starter of a playoff series. You know, I guess if you're saying what's the one thing the A's could have done differently, they could have signed Dallas Keuchel, but I digress. Mikolas has been good. I got to be honest with you. I'm surprised Flaherty has not been starting this game. Flaherty's been great. I guess if the Cardinals win this game, they hand the ball to Flaherty tomorrow, and that could put him in a position to be up 2-0. And if they lose this game, they hand him to Flaherty, that gives him a chance to be 1-1. I don't know. I think it's important to win that first game, especially in a best-of-five series. To win that game on the road, put the team on their heels, that's critical for me. Braves first baseman Freddie Freeman is in a bit of a slump heading into the series. Let's see if he breaks out of that. I like Freddie Freeman. I like it. He's a lifelong Brave, and you know he deserves to have that kind of bit of glory in Atlanta. Hey, traveling down to Southern California from where I'm sitting right now, Los Angeles and Washington square off, and the matchup is a little strange, I guess. I don't know. Patrick Corbin starting for the Nats. That makes sense. Washington used Scherzer and Strasburg to win the wildcard game. They knew they had a third ace and Patrick Corbin. It's gonna be, the matchup that I find interesting is who's going to pitch game two of Washington versus Los Angeles. Has that been set? You know, I'm going to go to MLB.com to see if they have tomorrow's pitchers announced. I'm scrolling down, and lo and behold, TBD is going to start. And I'm telling you, I'm looking at TBD's splits, and he's got the will to win, and TBD has the traditional stats, but you look at the advanced metrics for TBD, and I'm just not seeing it. I don't think TBD is the ideal pitcher to throw in the wildcard game. Wait, did I just read something wrong here? No, I've got it right. Mikolas and Keuchel are pitching today. Okay, I'm not losing my mind. So we'll see how TBD does tomorrow, but they're going with Walker Buehler. They did announce Walker Buehler is going to be starting game one for Los Angeles. Not Ryu. Ryu's the front runner to win the Cy Young Award. He looked really good in his playoff tune-up. Buehler, and I won't do the Ben Stein thing, he's looked okay in his last three starts, but you know, he's not gone more than six innings in all of them, but not dominating. He did have one really dominant start in September. We had 11 strikeouts, seven shutout innings, but it was against Baltimore. Look, Buehler can be great. Going Buehler, Ryu, and Kershaw. Far be it for me to second guess Dave Roberts' choice. I would have started Ryu. And I think Ryu against Corbin, advantage Los Angeles. But what am I going to do? What am I going to say about this? You know, I got to trust that Dave Roberts knows his pitching staff. That being said, I'm going to give Dave Roberts a piece of advice, which I have already done on this podcast in a previous episode. I'm going to do it again because if anything, I am redundant. And not only am I redundant, but sometimes I unnecessarily repeat things. What Dave Roberts has to do is not just hand the ball to Kenley Jansen if the game is on the line. If Jansen's the best pitcher for a situation, then fine, hand the ball to him. But he's no longer automatic. You know, his ERA for the year is over 3.3. That means he's averaging worse than a run every three innings. That means essentially you have a 33% chance he'll let up a run in a game that you put him into. In the second half, he's had a couple of months where his ERA was over 5. For the second half of the season, he's been letting up a run every other inning on an average. And if you're putting him into one-run games and he's averaging letting up a run every other inning, that means you're at coin flip time that he's going to blow a save. Now, again, I'm not saying bury him. I'm not. But I'm saying you can't treat him like he's Mariano Rivera circa 2000. Or even Brad Lidge 2008 or Koji Uehara in 2013. He's not that automatic pitcher you hand the ball to. So don't treat him like he is. He may have been that a couple of years ago. I'm not downplaying his career. He's had a wonderful career. I'm not saying bury him. He could be the right pitcher for a certain situation. But to say, it's the ninth, Bray, it's Kenley time. No! You got Pedro Baez, you got Kenta Maeda. You got the rookie Dustin May, who they haven't seen yet. Julio Urias, who I don't like as a human being, but you know what are you going to do? To just automatically hand it to Jansen is tantamount to insanity. And take a look at what the two teams who beat Los Angeles in the last two World Series did. The Astros and the Red Sox mixed and matched their closer situation because they both knew, the Astros knew that Giles and the Red Sox knew that Kimbrel were no longer automatic. So they mixed and matched. And next thing you know, they were dancing on the mound in Los Angeles while Dave Roberts watched. Were you watching? Who were the two pitchers who clinched the last two World Series? Were they Ken Giles and Craig Kimbrel? No! They were Charlie Morton and Chris Sale. Cora let Nathan Eovaldi pitch until his arm came off of his shoulder. I actually think Nathan Eovaldi is still pitching Game 3 of the World Series last year. I've seen no evidence to the contrary. And that wasn't Eovaldi's role going into the postseason. But they adapted and all got rings for it. You want rings, Dave Roberts? You want one ring to hold them all? I can't even speak Tolkien at this point. Don't treat Kenley Jansen like he's automatic. You can't do it. Because if that happens, you will then, if he does and uses Jansen as the closer automatically, I will guarantee you Jansen will have a critical blown save in this year's postseason. Just like he had critical blown saves in, the 2017 and 2018 World Series. You can look it up. The Dodgers were on the verge of a 2-0 lead in 2017. That would have put them in total control of that World Series. And oh yeah, he let up big home runs in the World Series last year, including one to Steve Pierce that tied it in the eighth of Game 4. And did I say Eovaldi pitched Game 4 earlier? He pitched Game 3. Forgive me. Things are muddled in my brain right now. Dodgers needed to win that Game 4. They would have had total command of that World Series, winning the 18-inning game and then winning the next day. Jansen blew the save that day, and the Red Sox wound up winning. You can't do it. He's not automatic anymore. Stop treating him like he is, and maybe we'll get somewhere. And we'll see if there's any momentum at all that builds up with the Washington Nationals and Corbin and the emotional and dramatic victory that the Nats had in Milwaukee. So we're going to play ball on the third day of October 2019. So go to the Himalaya Podcasting app. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google, all the places. You know how it goes. We have been sponsored by Vivid Seats. And remember the offer that we have going on here. Enter the promo code POSTSEASON at checkout at when you download the Vivid Seats app. And you'll receive a discount of up to $100. That's great stuff. Hey, if you have a chance to go to the ball game and see a game live in person, go do it. You can follow us on Instagram and at Twitter at LockedOnMLB. You can follow me, your pal Sully, on those two platforms. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Let's go do this. Let's play ball. This has been the Locked On MLB Podcast for October 3rd, 2019. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.